Good evening, everybody. It's nice to see so many here tonight, and it's nice to see so many in the band as well. So thanks for coming along. We'll give you all a warm welcome to our Christmas carol service, and tonight we've got a mixture of carols for you to sing. We've got some appropriate readings, and we've got 2 5-minute talks. And then afterwards, we're going to share some food and drink in the annex there. So, hope you all have a good evening. All the words to the hymns are going to be up on screen, and Roger is in control of that, so it should flow seamlessly through as we go. So we're going to start with our first carol, which is O Little Town of Bethlehem, and then afterwards I'd ask you to please remain standing. We're going to have a short prayer. O Little Town of Bethlehem. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come and sing praises to you and think about the birth of your son this evening. We ask you to help us to think about him and his life, and to think about the hope that we can all have if we put our trust in him. So please be with us now and be with all of our families and take care of us all, please. For we ask this through Jesus our Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
I've already given most of the welcome at the start, but there's some seats down the front. Okay. I already gave most of what I wanted to say up at the front of the meeting, just to make sure that everybody knew what was going to happen. So it's great to see the room is now full. That's fantastic. I still think we can sing that a little bit louder. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we get on. We're now going to have another carol, Once in Royal David City. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." I'm going to have 2 5-minute talks this evening, as I said, and the first of them is going to take place now. And the title of it is Peace and Goodwill to All Men. I'm going to ask Bob to come forward, please.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Come on. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Thank you. That was important because I wanted to say that Christmas is a lovely time of year, isn't it?
Yes.
Good. And it's a time when we do enjoy ourselves, and we're generally more cheerful. We give gifts. We're generally more friendly. There's this spirit of what the French call bonhomie. I think that's also an English word. It means just friendliness, a good-natured friendliness. But that's not really what these words mean. It isn't about that kind of peace and goodwill between men. This is the gift of God. This is God, through his angels, saying peace, goodwill. And it's something that God is giving to us. And it's something that characterizes the relationship that God establishes with us through his Son. Peace and goodwill. To understand that, however, we do need to understand also what the Bible says about our relationship with God generally, because it uses a different word. It uses a word that we don't use very much in our everyday language. It's called enmity. The Bible tells us that because of sin, there is enmity between God and man. Some modern versions use the word hostility. The relationship is a hostile one, in a sense, because of sin. And because of sin, God keeps us at arm's length and says, you know, you're sinners. I can't look upon sin. Paul says, because of sin and the wicked things that we sometimes do, then we're the enemies of God. And that's really how things were until the Lord God gave us his Son. And he brought peace and goodwill. So that through this new relationship we can have with God, through his Son, we're no longer enemies or hostiles, aliens, but we can be brought into his family and become his children. But we must never lose sight of the fact that in Romans, Paul says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. And however much we try, we can't get rid of sin within ourselves. We've got to understand that it's there. We've got to understand that it is inimical to our relationship with God. It will get in the way if we let it. We must always be aware of it and try to fight against it. But what we have here, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the gift of God, is a peace that we can celebrate, particularly at Christmas time, but throughout the year. Because through the Lord Jesus Christ, God offers us a number of things. He offers to take away our sins. He offers to forgive us when we do those things that are wrong in his sight. He offers to treat us as children instead of enemies. And he offers to restore peace to the relationship that we have with him. This is what Paul writes in Colossians. I can find it. Yes, for in him, in the Lord Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It took not the birth of Jesus, it took the death of Jesus to bring that peace to its fullness. And we mustn't forget that either, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born to die for us, to bring us that peace. One definition that I found that I really liked, I don't think it goes quite far enough, but I quite like it. One writer defined this kind of peace as the tranquil state of a person who is assured of their salvation through Christ. I think that's true, because those of you who are in that relationship with God through Christ will have that sense of peace. You know where you stand. You know that you have the grace of God. You know that you can see the plan and purpose of God working its way out. You know you have a hope beyond this life. But remember, it isn't just about you. It isn't just about me. It's about relationship with God. It's that peace between us that's important. And that's why when you read the Bible, so many of the New Testament letters, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and all of the others, in fact, two-thirds of them, they begin with a greeting which is grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. linking the forgiveness of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ with that right relationship with God, with that peace that we experience in our relationship with him. And it was interesting to read the words of Jesus at the end of his life, thinking about those as he gave his final messages to his disciples. He had lived a life without sin so that he could now offer himself a perfect sacrifice. And he said this to his disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not of the world, not as the world gives, do I give you." And he went on to say that in a later part that they would experience tribulation in the world. But the peace he was giving was that peace of our relationship with God through him that enables us to cope with whatever life might throw at us. We're not, most of us, suffering the tribulations that the disciples did, but we each have our problems and difficulties in life, don't we? And Jesus says, "I'm giving you this peace. It's my peace," he says. "It's not like the peace that you can get from anywhere else. It's the peace that God gives through Jesus so that we might stand strong in life's difficulties and be able to serve him faithfully." Because Paul goes on to say in Romans, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a tremendous blessing. We see the embryo of it in the birth of Jesus. It's brought to fulfillment in his death. We experience it in our lives. And there's more to come, which Roger will talk about. I think the words I'd like to leave you with are, again, the words of Paul from Romans. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope."
Thank you, Bob. I'm going to sing another song now, and this is Mary's Child. Thank you. I think that was well sung, probably new to most of us. Well, very nice. Right, two readings. Luke chapter 2. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And to sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Oh,
Right, I'm going to ask Roger now to make his way forward to give us a short talk on peace on earth.
Well, good evening, everyone. Peace on earth. Well, there's been lots of attempts at peace, haven't there? Here's a list of some of them. And peace prizes have been awarded over the years. In fact, over the last century, you find that there have been 124 Nobel Peace Prizes awarded to various individuals or organisations. In fact, there's some mugshots of the various winners, or some of the winners there. But peace, has it happened? It may have happened to some small degree with each of these people on each occasion. But still, people today are fighting. In fact, they've been fighting ever since the beginning of time, and there have been attempts at peace ever since the beginning of time. So we don't seem to have had a great deal of success, do we, in lasting peace? We've really only scratched the surface for peace talks and for bringing real, true peace to this world. But you know, the Bible tells us of someone who actually is called a Prince of Peace. And we read of him in Isaiah chapter 9. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this was a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken a good few hundred years before he was born. But in that prophecy, you've got outlined for us in big, bold letters the theme and the work and mission of the Lord Jesus. That he is and was going to be and still is and will be in the future Prince of Peace. And he's going to realise this by coming back to this world. That's how Jesus is going to bring peace. And when he was born, you see, the angels have the message here, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Peace on earth. There it is. The promise was made at his birth. It was never realized fully in his lifetime and in his mortal ministry. In fact, he was put to death in a horrible way. You can't call that peaceful, can you? But you see, Jesus rose to life again. And that's not the end of the story. He's coming back to reign as Prince of Peace. And when he comes, he's going to solve all the world's problems. He truly is going to be the only one who can ever bring lasting peace to this world. And that's because he has the answer to every single problem which faces the world today and in the future. He proved this by the things that he did in his ministry. He could wrestle with the trickiest questions and get the right answer every single time. He could show people the love of God in the way he healed people, in the way he taught people, how he made life interesting and full for those who would listen to him. He's going to do that on a worldwide scale when he comes again. It's not pie in the sky. The promise is there in the scriptures, and we know by the signs happening around us that very soon that day will be here. And then we can really find true, lasting peace with Jesus as world ruler, as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. Great peace who love have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. And that, dear friends, is the great hope of the future. Thank you.
Right, we're going to sing again. This time it's O Come, All Ye Faithful. That was absolutely fantastic. That was really, really good. Right, we're coming towards the end now of this part of the evening. Just one or two announcements. Okay. There's no gospel service next Sunday, but the next gospel service on the 1st of January at 2 p.m. and the title there is Good News for a New Year. But what I want to say is that we have midweek Bible classes here on a Tuesday night, and we have coffee mornings on a Friday. You're very welcome to come to any or all of these. You're also very welcome to stay with us after our final song, to stay for food and drink and have a chat and have a good time. So thank you all for coming. It's been great tonight. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope you have too. It's been a good opportunity to remember the birth of Jesus. So appropriately, we're going to finish with a song which I think you'll all know, and it's Let There Be Peace on Earth. And after we've sung this, we're going to close in prayer. So Let There Be Peace on Earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much that we've been able to come together tonight and play a part in this service, whether it's been in the singing or the listening or in playing the instruments or preparing the food. We thank you for the opportunity. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we might all think about your message, about peace and goodwill to all men, and about the future peace on earth which you have promised. And we ask that when we think about it, we might consider our own futures and the part that we want to play with your plan and purpose. We thank you for the refreshments. Help us not to take these things for granted when so many in the world do not have ready access to food and drink like we do. And please accept our thanks for all things. We give you our thanks through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.